kiddos, and I am not one who's ever been like teenagers or children are the church of tomorrow. They are the church right now, the church today and now, and God set this up to be a generational thing, not a single now I'm in big church kind of thing. I don't go for that. I don't like that. I think that's silly. But so enough about me. I would like to introduce a good portion of y'all were here at least last night, maybe even Friday night, and got to experience Mark and Ann last night. And so I'd like Mark Tubbs to come and share. Give him a welcome.
All right, thank you. Wouldn't it be great if you just had an opportunity to laugh at me? Like, not with me, but laugh at me for a minute? Would anybody enjoy that? Raise your hand. It's just like you could laugh at me really hard. So, this morning, I didn't put the coffee cup on all the way, or the lid, and so I looked down, and there was, like, coffee all like this, right? But it reminded me of a story. I went to a Blazer game. It was a date with my wife. I had a white polo on. And I bought a coffee, and I didn't realize it. And I'm watching the game, and finally I look down, and there is like a brown spot, like this bigger than a basketball right here. And I'm looking down at myself, and I'm thinking, you guys don't think this is funny? You can laugh at me. I'm giving you permission right now. So what do you do is you grab your jacket, right? So and you can close it. So I grab my jacket and I put it on. All of a sudden, I feel all this wet and someone had spilt their Coke behind me into the jacket. So now that I take it off, I've got little brown spots. I got a big one here and I got these spots all around. So this is nothing, you know. So this is great. Anyway, if you don't know me, that was a pretty good glimpse. So that was a good microcosm of what I'm like. You know, it's kind of like just life is just one enjoyable smoked meat, celebrating, waving flags moment. And thank you so much for such a free environment. And we really love you, Zach and Sage. The fact that you call us Mama and Papa, even though there's other amazing mamas here and other leaders, we don't ask anyone to call us that name. And what they're saying by it is that we believe God has put you in our life to speak into us and to love us. And it's not just about ministry, it's about family and relationship. Amen?
Yeah.
So how many are meeting me for the first time? And my wife and I. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Zach, put down your hand. Okay. Okay. Well, it's nice to meet you. God bless you. Last night, Friday, I spoke on how to hear the voice of God, and last night on how to receive the love of God. And anybody this morning practice a little? Anybody like said, I choose to receive God's love today? Did you do that? It's a choice. It's an amazing revelation. And my wife and I, we really do travel the world. I know it sounds really exotic, but I was supposed to be in seven nations from August to December. Right now, I was supposed to be in Israel and then preaching in London, but I get to be in Alaska, and it's gorgeous, and I hate to say this, but I can see Russia. I was supposed to be in Russia, okay, I love being here, and you know, this is a very special place. I go somewhere different. Last week I was in Texas, the weekend before I was in Montana, and you know, I get to go to a lot of churches. And I never say anything with flattery or just out of, you know, habit. But I just want to say that you have a very special church family. It's an amazing standout family. You know what I look for? There's things that I look for in a church. And one of them is 3 and 4 generations together. So when I see the kids and then... I'm not going to talk about how old you are. Is it Lori Leanne? How do you say your name? Lori Lee. Laura Lee. You got the, you know, the younger ones and then the young ones all together. It just that just touches God's heart. And like you said, the youth are a part of the church. And now, and 3 and 4 generations working together is just, yes, I love it.
For sure.
So we were gonna go to India and Nepal. But our next trip is in April. We're going to be going to Kenya. I would love to drop you off in a village for 6 hours, you and maybe 2 or 3 others. You can heal the sick, cast out demons, dream. You can teach everything you've ever learned. After 3 hours, you can say, what should I do now? Yeah. Then you really start to begin, and it's really awesome, and this glory will come. I have a video, I'll never forget it, this guy, I come up to him, he's from Hawaii, and I said, what's going on? And he kind of looks at me annoyed, like, I'm busy, you know. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, a deaf ear's opening. This person was deaf before I started praying. And I said, have you ever seen a deaf ear open before? And he goes, no. I go, how many have you seen today? And he goes, 5. And I'm like, okay. I just want you to be in a place, and I know we can do it in Alaska. We can go out. But I want you to be in a place where you get to see how anointed you are.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I'll drop you off in a village. You don't say, I don't know what to do. You look funny, so that'll last for a long time because your hair looks different. You look totally different from them. Your clothes are different. And so it's really fun for me. Jesus, in Luke 9 and 10, took out people. You know, he took his apostles and he sent them out in pairs. And then the next chapter, he sent them out in the 70. And I just really believe that you are so anointed. It's like you should get to the point where it's like, move over, Benny Hinn. You know, move over, because, you know, if you can walk in the anointing breaks the yoke.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I give you power and authority.
Yep.
And I just want to see every believer get that. And never, you just never hold back, because the world, I'll tell you, they love authentic Christianity.
Yep.
They do. Everybody, they don't like churchianity. They don't like you saying it's a hoax and you don't like science. They don't like that stuff, okay? They put you in a box already. But they love genuine Christianity. They love prophecy. Everyone loves prophecy. Atheists love prophecy. They love it.
Yep.
Especially when you get real revelation. And they, you know, everyone wants to be touched, and you have it. You've got everything you need. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of a different message today. How many have ever had anybody disagree with you? Okay. How many have had someone disagree with you to the point where they were pretty almost angry with you? Anybody? Okay. Anybody? I want to touch on this a little bit. There are with these multi-generational families, there are families that are being divided over politics, over opinions, and right now it's a serious problem, okay? And I'm not sure what it's like in Alaska. Maybe you all just all believe the same thing and get along, and there's no differences, so. Huh? Yeah, okay. So anyways, it was just a few years ago, I put a Facebook post. I have like the limit. I got 5,000. I also have another page that has 27,000 on it. So I get a chance to do some stuff. And so anyways, I'm really, one of my pet issues is human trafficking, sex trafficking. It's one of the things that's very important to me. And when we're on the Kenyan coast, we've been a part of helping women and boys off the street, providing like business training for them and doing things proactively to help that group, but also for me. So in immigration, not trying to be political here, but for me, the more open things are, the higher the rate of human trafficking. Okay, so that's one of my issues. So I put that out there on very eloquently, saying this is ignored. I've even checked the ACLU website. I've seen that everybody agrees that the more it's open, the more you have human trafficking. So anyways, after that, I'm reading all the responses and the hatred and the vile that was being spewed toward me. And all of a sudden, I started looking at the people that were doing it. And there were all the people that I would want to reach for Christ. The people that didn't know the Lord, or the people that didn't know my heart, or maybe even a tinge hint from a family member that's not walking with the Lord. And they were like, you know, you don't have compassion, but they know me, but they're just going at it on this Facebook page. And so I before I wrote anything again, you know, because the tendency is you want to say, you know, kind of defend yourself, right? And I go and pray, and the Lord said to me, would you be willing to lose your right to post your opinions on Facebook for those that you love? And I'm like, okay, you know, it was probably in the same time that I was with my brother. He calls himself an agnostic, and we had moved back into the LA area, into that home, and we were like in a he had a swimming or and he had moved closer to us, and we're in a swimming pool, and I love to swim. That's kind of my go-to now for getting exercise and that kind of thing. And so we're in the pool together, and we start talking about politics, and also he has two sons that are gay, okay? And so he starts saying, you know, well, I know what you think. You know, he's telling me what I believe. I don't even get the answer. He gets to tell me all the things that I think because I'm a Christian and I'm in ministry. So I'm being told what I think, and then we start talking about politics because he's really into it, and this isn't going well, okay? This is not what I had in mind. And so I said to him, I said, can we just stop for a moment? Call a timeout, you know, like in sports. Timeout! You know, can we have a timeout here? And I said, Dan, I said, I want to be closer to you. And I know you've always wanted to be closer to me. And I don't mind talking about anything if it gets us closer. But if it doesn't get us closer, I think there's enough we can share. And I said, so I want to make a commitment right now that we're going just to grow in our love for each other. Yeah. Good. Well, 2 weeks later, he calls me and he goes, Mark, Catherine, that's his wife, she has cancer. Like, really serious. Like, close three, almost stage four cancer. And he says, oh, I don't know, you know what to do. And I said, can we come over? And we go over and we pray with him. And you want to understand, she's a self-proclaiming atheist. He's an agnostic. One time even when I was praying for her, she felt heat and started to feel things. But I just started thinking, had we not 2 weeks earlier made that decision in the pool, I wouldn't have got that call. And what I want to share with you right now is I believe, and this is a timely word for the body of Christ, I want you to know that you are in a culture where you can no longer afford to spew your opinions. To be opinionated. I'm not saying you can't have convictions. I'll talk that in a moment. But I want you to know is that in Ephesians 5, it says that to only speak those things that build others up according to their need. And nowadays in this culture, it's like, it's amazing because it's just so easy. No one has opinions about masks, for example. I mean, it's just an easy issue, right?
Yep.
You know, one of the things I do is oversee churches. I have churches that are really divided over this issue. People that won't go to the church because the leaders don't care about them and others. We have our churches in HIM that are struggling with the issue whether they should even open. I get calls. I had to fly down to a church where there was so much, you know, they were so upset over COVID issue and the building they were going to use. And, you know, it was just drama. And, you know, does anybody here have an opinion about that? I'm just curious. Yeah, I know. I've been with you, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you, but, you know, it's different in every region that I go. But, you know, I've got an 85 and an 80-year-old fathers, and they don't see anyone. And I go to a lot of places, so I'm not living down in L.A., or I would tell you, if I lived in L.A. right now, I'd tell you, I'd probably want to wear my mask in. I would tell you probably I'm not going to shake hands or hug, only because I'm going to go sit opposite my 88-year-old dad who's seen no one.
Right.
Okay, and I don't want to, I mean, I know there's probably science that say I shouldn't wear the mask and all that, but I want to let you know that that is just a microcosm. The enemy right now with politics and all this stuff wants to get you riled up. And he wants to divide you from other people.
Yeah.
And right now, it's like if you read political stuff and you go there, I mean, it can really impact you. I believe it's not scientific, of course. I believe that 30 to 35% of any struggles that you're dealing with internally right now are from external things that you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
That some of the heaviness in your spirit is that there's this spirit at work, or spirits at work to come, steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what's happening? That the church is and Christians are being written off more and more and being put into a box where you're a group of people who don't believe in science and you're opinionated and you don't care about people. So what are we going to do? I went one time, I was just like I'm speaking here, I was at a hotel in Bakersfield, and I went down there, and I just shared a little bit of this with the youth the other night, just barely, but I'm going to tell the real story here, full story here. So I get in the hot tub, and there's three guys, and they're eating pizza, which I never really understood how you eat pizza in a hot tub, but hey, I guess you can, you know. Yeah, keeps it warm. Very good, Scott. I said, what you guys doing here? And they said, oh, we're at Walmart. We're training on how to, you know, lead our department and everything. So they go, what do you do? And I always like to, I don't want to go for the Christian card right away, you know. So it's like, well, I'm a public speaker and author. But I also go around the world, train leaders. My book, by the way, Five Fingers of God's in 12 languages now. And I have some of those. I have them in English up there for you. And if I run out, we can order them. But anyways, I said I'm an author, and I said I do travel the world. I train leaders, and I'd have schools and of an orphanage and stuff. And he goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, well, yeah. And he goes, I'm a Satanist.
Nice.
Just like that. Like, and he kind of, you know, he's gritting his teeth. You know, like, I'm a Satanist. What do you think about that? You know, that's kind of the attitude he had.
Yep.
Well, Just a few moments before, I looked at him in the spirit because I want to train. I'm trying. If you hear my from Friday and Saturday night, the way I train people is that yes, you can have your opinion, but if you knew how to look through the eyes of God and you know how to hear His voice and receive His love all the time for yourself, you can just turn that on for anybody you look at.
Yeah.
It's like easy. You just look at them with the same way that God looks at you, and you start looking at them. And the Lord told me that this guy, because his father was so abusive, he wanted to be the best father he could be. It was like his life mission. And I knew he had small children. And so I said, I can see that you have small children, and you say you want to be the best father you could ever be. And he goes to the other guys, he goes, is this guy a wizard? You know? And I said, not only that, the Father, the true Father, loves you so much. I had to get it in there. And if you like Lucifer, you should meet his creator. Okay? Because I said, he loves you so much, and he is your Father, true Father. And he'll show you what love is. In fact, I think you're going to come to know him right now in this water. And he looks at me, and he said, I've never met a Christian like you. He said, I usually just say that line to get them mad or, you know, get them going, or usually they won't run away from me.
Yep.
And he said, But you saw me. You saw my heart. And I said, yeah, but guess what? It's your Father. It's your true Father that's seeing you.
That's good. Come on.
The other guys go, what about me? You know, so yeah. You know, I just start prophesying over each of these guys. And I it just meant so much to me. And, you know, he got my information and stuff. I don't, you know, but I wish to say there was a big altar call. But what happened was they got actually called to a meeting. Someone called him and I was bummed. But I did give him my information. And I started making a commitment during that season that I started realizing that my opinion had alienated from me from people. And it was okay. Because it's like I have a right to my opinion. And, you know, and so the Lord has brought to my mind, if you have Bibles there, or phones, or iPads, or whatever, if you turn to Romans chapter 14, how many know that the early church had a real big battle over one issue, where people had really strong opinions?
Yep.
And then here's the issue before I read it. The issue was that in the cities and in the towns, they would have pagan theaters. By the way, it's so cool because Paul's model of ministry is he'd go into the church and get kicked out. So could you imagine? My strategy is to go get kicked out of the church. So he'd actually was a synagogue though, the Jewish synagogue. He'd go there, he'd get kicked out, and then guess what he'd do? He'd go find the darkest place in the city and rent it. Okay? The darkest place in the city. He'd find the place where they sacrificed meat to idols during the, you know, other hours. Where they'd have, there's a lot of children here, they would have physical activities on the stage, okay? That's how pagan it was. And Christians had a big debate because they'd take these animal sacrifices that were offered to pagan gods and then they would give the fat, but they'd take the meat and they'd take it to the market and they'd put it in that section where they put the little red tag 50% off. So a good frugal Christian knew that if they went to where meat, you know, the meat had been done that, they could get a deal, right? How many ever go there? Does anybody ever do this? Because no one up here? Wow. I always go in and look for that, you know, that T-bone or that filet that's half off because it's going to expire, you know, in the next day or so. You don't have those sections here? Who does this? Am I still the only one? You get yours in the woods. This is, oh, I should have known. What are you talking about? Where's Jay? What are you talking about? We're going to have a moose T-bone today, you know, okay. Which, I'm, by the way, is a highlight. I mean, so anyways, they're saying, but other Christians are going, you can't do that. Are you kidding me? You're buying meat that's been sacrificed to an idol? You're willing to participate in that? You're a terrible Christian. Are you a Christian? How could you do that? So they're fighting over this meat. And a lot of Christians wouldn't eat meat because they didn't know where it was from.
Right.
Because they didn't want to take a chance that they were eating meat sacrificed to idols. So that's the context of Romans 14. By the way, this is a big deal in the early church, okay? And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Romans 14, Paul wrote, "Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling or over disputable matters." Have you ever quarreled over a disputable matter? Yeah, we all have. "One person's faith allows them to eat anything. But another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables." I knew it. The weak ones were the ones that eat vegetables. I smoke meat for hours. I literally speak to my meat. I say, "You will be tender. You will come into the full measure of your destiny." I'm not joking. Well, I kind of am, but I have fun with it because I know God created these things. Of course, it's not about whether you eat vegetables or not. It's about your freedom. And sometimes people think your freedom is too much as a Christian. And we know we have this regarding drinking, alcohol, for example. We have this regarding, you know, what kind of movies you might watch. In traditional church, this was much more an issue. I mean, people were dancing in secret. Okay. Yeah, playing cards. But so Christians had these kind of things. And what happens is there was this attitude that, you know what, if you do those things, you know, you're wrong. But you know what's really interesting to me? Paul calls those opinionated people the weak ones. All of us would like to think we're the strong one. Like, yes, let me show you maturity. You know, I know we don't talk like that, but we would like to think we're right. God thinks like us. We know what's right. And the weak ones, you know, they're opinionated. You know, that's what the Bible's saying here. He's saying the ones that promote their views at the cost of relationship are the ones that are the weak ones. I want you to hear this. The ones that are mature are the ones that can say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to judge you over whether you eat meat or not. I'm not going to struggle inside if you tell me to wear a mask or not, or if you do wear a mask or don't wear a mask, or I know that's superficial, but you know deeper things, whether you drink or, you know. I can't tell you, you know, how many times I was a pastor for 24 years and people, they don't realize they're brought up with religious stuff.
Yep.
Okay? I got religious stuff in me and I go, where did that come from?
Yep.
Who put that in me? You know, if you're the strong one, it's again, we're talking about this about convictions. You're the one who loves people. You're not going to allow your differences. You're not going to allow your opinions, even when you think you're judging them and they're in sin or whatever. Did you know that a lot of people that are living in sin, they don't even say Jesus is Lord? They're not even accountable to you for that. They have no desire to please God. They don't even believe in God. Why would you use a standard of Christianity and put it on an unbeliever who doesn't even know if God exists or even cares if God exists?
Right.
And now you're going to use that to talk to them?
No.
And that's why. Do you know the number one thing that the gay community, the LGBTQ community says is that you've judged me. Before you even open your mouth, you've judged me. And now, guess what that whole community has done? It's taken it to the extreme. If you don't accept me and understand me for who I am, you're abusing me.
Right.
So we are worse off now. The fact that you might even begin to disagree with them or not understand it, now it's abuse.
Right.
So we've lost so much ground because of the fear of judgment.
Yeah.
Is this true or not? Because I just want to know. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to go to church either. You know, we need to be a place where people are wrestling with life decisions and lifestyles, and it's okay. Because see, if I want to be mature, I want to be the one who loves and accepts people, and I can let God judge people. And I'm not saying in the context of relationship I can't begin to speak into their heart.
Sure.
But until I have that place,
right.
Do I think I'm helping them? No, I'm making myself feel better. I'm also throwing water on the ground. They don't think I'm funny. You know, it's like, these are jokes, but maybe I'm too intense. That's why I joke around. So I can speak to it. Listen to what Paul says. Just let the word speak. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. So if God has accepted them, who are you? You know, the truth is, everyone, like I said, thinks they're the ones with the strong faith.
Right.
And so I began to position myself and say, you know what, golly, it's the one who is quarreling over disputable matters. It's the one who rejects other people because of their opinion. It's the one who gets offended, put off, feels diminished. And you know what I began to find? When I began to speak on this and I began to meditate on it, I met a lot of people who were alienated from family members because of issues. I met parents who said, I met a man once, he said, my son and I used to hunt together, and when he learned I voted for Trump, he will not even speak to me. Like I said, I don't know the, it seems a little more less diversified here, but I'm sure there are. But the extended families, I had people say that, you know, I have family members that, because of what I write on posts, they on Facebook, they've defriended okay, thank you for the proper language here. They've unfriended me. And I said, well, what are you doing about it? What do you mean? Well, you can reach out. Well, they don't want to hear anything I have to say. And I feel like saying, no, you don't want to hear anything they have to say. Mm. Did you know that the heart is an amazing thing? Did you know that you can close your heart to people?
Yep.
You can decide, hey, I close my heart. They're not worth it. I can't trust them. They're just going to hurt me. They're just going to reject me. I'm afraid to ask, but has anybody ever done this? Okay. You know, the Lord said to me, he said, I thought you gave me your heart. Yeah? He said, so you think you have authority to open and close it? Well, what do you mean? He said, won't you believe that I am the protector of your heart? And when you try, you do accomplish only one thing. You stop the flow of my spirit through you. You know, one time when I was going to Kenya, the Lord said some of my first time, this was I think in 1998, 1997. The Lord said to me, every time you have an opinion in Kenya, you're going to be miserable. And I didn't know what he meant by it. You know, it's like, okay, every time I have an opinion. Well, guess what? I had lots of opinions on the first few days. No one was on time. You'd show up for a 10 o'clock meeting and there'd be no one there until 11. Why did we rush breakfast and our team meeting to be there and no one would be there? It's cultural. When I would get the meat, because you by this time know I absolutely love and adore meat, and I'd look at it and say, what kind of meat is this? It's mystery meat. Is it goat? Yeah, that's goat. No, we had goat yesterday. That doesn't look anything like it. All right. That's mutton, you know. What's mutton? I mean, I just didn't know. I know at the time, but I was miserable. When it was too hot, I mean, it was 110 degrees and really humid. You know what the Lord said? I love this one. I'm so hot. I'm so miserable. And I said, Lord, and he goes, you like saunas and hot tubs, don't you? I go, I love saunas. He goes, well, I put you in one, you know, like, enjoy it. Yeah, like, so I'm going like, yeah, my neck does feel a bit. You know what I started doing? I started enjoying it. Now, if you get me in real hot heat, I'm like, this is good, man. Especially if it's humid, getting loose, you know. I spend that one on the devil. And so I started to catch myself But guess where I had the most opinions about people? The ones that weren't on time, the ones that seemed like they wanted me to be there for money, the ones that didn't give me a good currency exchange, the ones that wanted to sell me something three times higher than the one next door. It became a relational issue. And so I went home and I said, Lord, I got so much on the trip. You know, what do you want to, what's the main thing you really want to do in me through this trip? And he said, I'd like you to live life like you did there. I'd like you to have less and less and virtually no opinions. This almost sounds anti-American. I'm not saying I can't have likes and dislikes, but maybe we can use the title, you know, just the phrase disputable, you know, preferences. Let's just use that word. Your preferences, what you feel comfortable with, what you think. You know, unless it's Holy Spirit breathed, then all it is, it's really actually becoming a way for you to separate people from you. If it's more important to you. What would your life be like if you could, you know, quickly accept, look at someone and you go, hey, how do I just get the eyes of the Lord instead? What are they going through? You know, there's a woman in Montana, one woman wearing a mask in the service. Wonder how she felt. I looked at her and I said, I want to honor you today for wearing a mask. I know there's a reason that you've chose to do so, because no one else here is wearing one. And I want to honor you. I'm sure it's either a health issue or someone in your life. And it was true. She had an asthmatic problem, a real strong problem, and I forget exactly what it was, but she medically felt that it was absolutely necessary for her. Sure. But the fact that she felt honored. I went to one church where they had someone, a greeter with a mask and one without. Mm-hmm. And I knew right away what was happening. I looked at the man. I said, do you wear a mask normally? He goes, no. I go, why are you wearing a mask? He said, because the Lord told me that if they'd come to the church and they saw someone not wearing a mask and someone wearing a mask, that they knew that if they were wearing a mask, I could usher them and I could honor them. I'll sit them. And they had chairs separate for certain families and stuff. So anybody that came and it wasn't a personal agenda for them, that church accommodated it. And then all the other ones where you want to just breathe and hug each other, you can go over that side. Am I talking to anybody here? Just kind of curious here. I want to change your life. Because, see, my real motivation is I want to change your inner life.
Yeah.
I think the kingdom of heaven is within. I think if I'm loving and pure and honoring toward others within, I think it's going to leak.
Yeah.
It's going to come out. You know where this really started to hit the road? My family. Yeah. I have a daughter named Lorena, and she's married to a Korean-Taiwanese man. He's Asian. And he was actually born in Taiwan, and his family grew up wearing masks as a part of their culture.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I traveled to China. My book's in Chinese. Isn't that fun? It's in Japanese. It's in Korean. I go all over the world, but in these cultures, the last 10, 15, 20 years, I've seen masks. I mean,
yep.
It's just part of their life. And so anyway, we flew down to our home in L.A. from Portland, and it was 13 days before Easter. And my son-in-law says we can't come over because it hasn't been 14 days. How do you think I'm doing right now? I'm like, you won't come to my table because it was 13 days ago, not 14? How many think I almost had a right to be kind of upset, right? And I just, I've learned, you know where I go when I'm struggling? I go right to the throne of grace to receive mercy in my time of need. And I ran to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm really struggling. He's not coming today. That he's choosing this one day thing. And then he said this. Can you forgive him and release him? Have him tomorrow night. I have another son. By the way, I should just stay with that one. A few months later, we were having a family vacation. I had bought tickets for him to fly up. We were going to go below Seattle. The whole family was coming. All the kids, all the family was coming. And about 3 or 4 hours, literally, before his flight, the Lord tells me, his name is Glenn, he says, you're going to have to release Glenn from the family vacation. He just can't get on the plane. I want you to love him. So he calls a few hours later. I can't do it. I tried really hard. I said, you can stop there. We release you. And we love you. And you're a part of our family. Yeah. And we look forward to when we can. Yeah. He tells his wife, I felt so loved. He didn't get that ever from his parents. I felt so loved. My other son, his name is Marcus. He's a scientist. He's a physics major. We got to talking politics. And the Lord gave me a strategy. He said, if you will talk to him at his level, as long as he needs it, you'll be able to ask him any question and he'll answer you. About his life, about his faith, or lack of faith, or his disappointment. And so we get in these discussions, and I'm like, every brain cell in my head is popping when we're talking about Bernie Sanders or whomever. I'm a political science major, okay? I've studied the basically the platforms. I knew, like, in 1982 is when they made a decision to be the pro-life party. I mean, I know these things, okay? I understand the difference between state, county, city, government. I mean, I understand politics quite a bit. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I just want to rebuttal. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to say anything, it better be good. More than that, it should be sensitive. So you feel like your generation's been robbed of things like you have to, your education and your medical is too high, and you know friends that can't afford it. And you know what? You know what it was like when my son looked at me and said, Dad, I've never met anybody more open to other people's opinions than you. Would you take that to the bank? And on that family vacation, 8 months later, this was back in June, I could ask him any question, and he'd answer me from his heart. So here I am closer to my 30-year-old son now than I've ever been in my life. But I want to let you know, it wasn't easy. It was a discipline. Yeah. You know, when Paul continues, he talks... There's a number of passages. It's in. I don't need to review them all, but one of my favorites is in 1 Corinthians 7. He's talking about the same issue. I'm sorry, I don't have the address right away here, but one of the things that, and I can find it, but one of the things he says is that I become all things to all people that they might be saved. Yep. And so he says, I position myself as a servant of all. I look at every contact with someone as an opportunity to represent the love of Christ. Now, by the way, in all those discussions with my son, with my brother, I never compromised or apologized for my faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? I was respected. The more I honored them, the more they honored. My brother used to mock my Christianity. He talked about drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, you think people were really healed and all that stuff. And the more I honored and respect him, the more he honored me and stopped mocking me.
Right. Yep.
And in fact, now he respects my Christianity a lot. And he's open to me praying. And in fact, his wife did die, unfortunately, this last Christmas. And he went to an online support group. And he started dating an on-fire Christian woman. Okay? And so I just want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to look at your... Before you look at how you're responding, look at your internal life. Are you worked up? Are you angry? Are you upset? Are you having these inner talks? Are you having these debates? Are you getting triggered left and right? Because I know, I can tell you, I'll be honest, I can read CNN and I get triggered. Triggered! But every time I go to the Lord, he says, it's not what we're doing. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I know right now you're praying a fast for the election. Papa Cheon is going to all the battleground states right now, having meetings, just sharing with people why he's pro-life and why he's pro-Israel. And so, you know, he's telling people, hey, you don't have to vote a person. You can vote a platform. You can vote a biblical values.
Yep.
And he's doing it. And the Lord, last night I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw him, but the Lord said, I want you to be a sentinel. Well, I kind of know what a sentinel is, but not really. So I looked it up. It's someone who's posted at their guard. It's a guard who's posted to protect someone who's valuable. That's what you're doing in this fast. You're standing in the gap. You're sentinels. You're on the watch right now. And when you're on the watch, you don't want to pray your opinion. God, make them more like us. Baptize those Democrats, you know, I mean, or Republicans, okay, whatever. But instead, you're not warring against flesh and blood. You're warring against powers and principalities and praying, Lord, come, rescue our nation. Lord, rescue Israel. Rescue, Lord, the unborn, Father. Rescue those that are caught up in human trafficking. Father, come with a miracle. Come sway the election into biblical values. Was that an amen? I'm not sure. That's good. Now I have convictions. I do. I'll stand up for the name of Jesus. But I'm not going to stand up for my right not to wear a mask or not to make others do it. I put on a seatbelt. I have a smoke alarm. Okay? I listen to the government at some point. I'm just saying. I wanted to just give you a little input there. I put on a seatbelt every time. In fact, they have designed it so that if the stupid thing goes ding, 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 if I don't put the seatbelt on. Why aren't I mad? I lost my right not to wear a seatbelt. But people die continually, so they did that. I'm not defending it, the mask. I'm just trying to say that If you're in government and you have to make the hard decisions and you want to try to make protect people, you're going to err to the left, you're going to err to the right, you're going to underdo it, overdo it. And guess what? Pray for them. Better yet, have a relationship with them. Go meet some of these people in places of influence. You'd be amazed how many people came foaming at the mouth instead of saying, come and let me support you during this difficult time of decision. You want to have an impact on government? Get in government. Yep. Meet the governmental people.
More amen.
And then here, one time I was at a meal with two leaders, and they said to me, we have daughters. Both of us have daughters, two families, and they're both saying they're non-binary. Do you guys have that stuff up here? Or not a lot. Non-binary is I'm neither male nor female. And I don't want you to call me male or female. And I don't want you to call me by name. I don't remember what you call them. I'm they or them or something, yeah. And then one would say to me my daughter wants me to call her this male name. What do I do? And then as I listened to the two couples, it was like one couple said, "Look, we sat down with our daughter and we said, look, we love you. We don't know how to respond, but we want to be closer to you. So we're going to try our best to learn how." But you'll always be our daughter. So, I mean, we're really torn, you know. Yeah. The other one was like, nope, we're not going to participate in that sin. And we're going to tell them, no, I'll never do that. And well, who do you think had the better relationship? Do you know that there are a lot of families struggling with these issues in other cities? It's really a serious issue. And I wouldn't pretend to know how to respond. I really don't. I don't know what I'd do. I mean, I know I'd try to love, but I know I'd struggle. Here's the main thing I want to get after. One is, I want to ask you a few questions. Are there any family members or people in your life that you want to be close? And right now, you're alienated from them because of your differences of opinion. Is there anybody in this room? Just curious. Okay. Right now, that could shift. I'm not talking it's going to. I loosen and command a shift into that relationship. I declare a relational shift. And as you agree with me in Jesus' name, you say, Lord, do it in me. Birth it in me. Train me. Equip me. Show me how to respond in a way. Now remember, conviction is different. It's when the Lord tells you, I want you to stand for this. Okay? I've never had the Lord tell me, I want you to obey. I want you to obey. Oppose the LGBTQ community. I've never heard that. In fact, I have young men in Kenya, 1,000 of them I wish I could reach. Oh, I'd love to take some of you in April. First time I met these young men, the leader told me, you have to understand, meeting you would be like meeting the President of the United States. You're from the United States, you're a white male. It's like a lot of their customers. To meet you would be very intimidating. So I said, well, I think I'd like to meet him. And he says, all right, I got 5 in the car. He says, I just wanted to make sure that you were ready to meet him. He was testing to see if I was going to be a jerk. These young men came. We had other men like yourselves. That's what we did. They walked up. We didn't know what to say. So I just started holding the young man. I literally started holding him. He'd never been held by a man that was a father. He wept, 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 and wept. And he accepted Jesus. So did the other young men. I heard the report that those young men were starting to evangelize all up and down the coast. I haven't been able to go because of the coronavirus. We canceled that trip this year, and I'm just eager the most to go. I'd like to be a part of eradicating abuse of these young men in Kenya. But I want to go to your home. I want to go to your family relationships. I want to go to your neighbor. I want to go to your work companions. And I want to help encourage you that, are you the strong? Or are you the weaker one? Are you able to love people in a way that Christ loved the church, loved the world? God, Jesus did love the people in the world. He said, do not, he went out to the world. For God so loved what? The world, not the church. Do you know that Jesus was accused of being a drunkard? A drunkard. A glutton. Why? Because he was probably hanging out at the sports pub. You ever go hang out at the sports pub just to minister? It's awesome. It is. Most places I feel the greatest freedom, I just try to find the darkest place in a city. Go to Tijuana? Take me to where all the prostitutes are. Meet this person. I don't even know if it's a male or a female. Right. You know what I decide? It doesn't matter. God knows. She came to Christ. He came to Christ. The man with her, came to Christ. The guy, person with me next to me, do you think that was a male or a female? I said, I don't know. I didn't stumble on that moment. I just knew that God loved that person. And he created them and he died for them.
Yes.
And I believe that if they, that they will, and by the way, there's a prayer place very close by where we could send people and tell them about, so that, and we were with them so they could get discipleship. Mm-hmm. Wasn't like just,
yeah, that's important.
Yeah. So I think I'm making my point, but I'm just trying to say I want to come home. And I'm going to pray right now for your family, for your relationships with anybody that you're separated from. I know this is kind of a heavy topic, but I think culturally right now, you're the light to the world. I believe that you hold the keys to the kingdom. I believe that you are the bridge of hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Did you hear that? I believe you're a bridge of hope.
Come on.
And I believe that you have a message that can change the entire region. And guess what? I'm believing and hoping for godly values. But on November 4th, and it's not the outcome I'd hoped and believed, I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ready to influence influences. In fact, I better be readier than ever to know who my influencers are in our culture. And as a church, we're going to get a strategy on how to influence the influencers. That's what this book is about. It's called Relational Transformation, story after story of how literally regions were changed. Not just a church, not just a family. Regions were changed. Because we had the ability to love those in government, those in education, those in in all forms of of society. Relational transformation. Father, I want to pray right now. Can I just pray? Instead of an altar call, I tend just to take my apostolic sword and I begin to just bring freedom for you. Anybody want freedom? Because we're going to go after it right now. I would like you to have a life-changing encounter. I'd like you to be set free. If you're being tormented, I'd love to see you be free from it. So, Father, I just pray right now for every person in this room. We're being impacted by a spiritual onslaught through media and opinions. We're being bombarded constantly by information, the internet, Facebook, whatever it is. And we want to be free. And Lord, we want to come in to a new season in our lives. And Father, we want to have your revelation. It's not that we don't want to have convictions. In fact, we want our opinions to be replaced with your heart and with what you want us to see and do. Yeah. Lord, we want to pray for those that have rejected us because we were too opinionated. Or we rejected them because they were too opinionated. And we ask that you'd forgive us. And we ask, Lord, that you'd show us how to love and accept them and to reach out and do everything we can to let them know that we want any differences, real or perceived, to be put aside and that the relationship is made first. We pray, Lord, that we will become the strong ones. We pray that we will be the ones that are more concerned about the needs of others than our need to be right or to defend ourselves. We pray, according to 1 Corinthians 9:19, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. We pray that our heart would be like Paul, who said, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some.
Yeah.
And just right now, I just would ask you to just, if you want to participate, you would tell the Lord, Lord, today I want to repent. I want the word repent means I want a change of mind.
Yeah.
I want to be free. I want to love people with your heart. I want to see them with your eyes. I want to be freed from opinions that have taken over my life and relationships and actually separated me from people. If you did that, I'm going to pray the next prayer. Did anybody do that just now? Just release?
Yeah.
Okay. I declare healing over your heart right now. Just like I could lay hands right now on a knee or a body, I lay hands in the Spirit on your heart and I declare healing and release to your heart. I speak to your heartache. And I declare right now in Jesus' name that by the Holy Spirit, you're being set free. Because He or she who is free indeed. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And he was talking about himself. He's the one that said, I'm humble. Come learn from me, for my heart is humble and gentle. What do you mean? I'm not judging you and I'm not judging others. There will be a judgment, people. Yes, there will. I'm not saying there won't. There will be a judgment whether you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and confessed him with your mouth, and if your name is written on in the book of life, yes, there will be that judgment. And I'm not saying there aren't times where the Lord won't give you the words to free someone with the sword of truth. Father, make us the peacemakers. Fathers, make us the lovers. I wrote this in my notes. Father, make us the bridge. That's a true intercessor. The one who's the bridge. Lord, today I realize it starts with me. That I can impact many people through my ability to be strong and my ability to love and to accept others by the power of your Holy Spirit. Today I choose it. To not only receive your love, but I choose to give your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We have some books. I ran out of Anne's book last night called Freedom by Grace. It was written for those who struggle in condemnation. Who wanted that book? Anybody? Were you planned on it? So we're going to make a list. And we're going to write down your name. If you don't mind paying the $10, we'll pay the postage. We'll have them in the mail by Tuesday, and you'll have them before next Sunday. Okay? And Zach wanted to make sure that in love my breath was decent. Thank you, Zach, for seeing my mouth from the Father's perspective. No.
I have a mic, too.
Yeah. Oh. Can I pray for you guys? I want to pray for you and say just as a symbol, too. I've about gone over time. Thank you. So proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Really, Anne, why don't you come on up too when we lay hands on them. It's really laying hands on all of you. They just represent right now. We're proud of you. We believe in you. When you felt led to put Apostolic Center on the website, that was pretty bold. But you were making a declaration. You really were saying Bridge of Hope in two other words. When you said Apostolic Center, we were saying we want to be a place where the region is set free.
Yeah.
Through relationships, through unity. So we just right now increase your church, you, and your influence in this region strategically. Ask the Lord what people groups He will give you. Ask the Lord which places in the region He will give you. Ask the Lord the places He's already given to you and you didn't realize it yet. That's more likely than the first two. Places are waiting for you. Through your intercession, your prayers have already been answered. And God is waiting for you to move into what He's already released. There are people groups He will give to you. And the Lord will release His love and is releasing His love. We speak favor over you, abundance over you, freedom over you, and healing over you. As these things come home, they come to your own dinner table, like all of us. But today, all of us are becoming strong. Strong in the Lord, strong in faith, strong in hope. And we just pray this blessing on you and on the Bridge of Hope in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, and one of the things I felt Lord giving you, the people group that He's giving you, is sex trafficked. I had a dream this morning that, you know, there's Alaskan young girls being trafficked, and I really felt like He gave that dream to me because He's going to give you strategies and ways to get in there and make a difference. You have an anointing for family, and that's part of the fruit of that.
Amen. We love you guys.
As we get ready to dismiss, I would like to receive an offering for Mark and Ann and Transformation of the Nations. If you already gave in the tithes and offering portion and marked it for Mark, that's fine. I would like to, again, receive an offering. If you are writing a check, you can make it out to BOH or Bridge of Hope. Just earmark it for Mark Tubbs or TO2TN or something so that we know where it needs to go. You can also give online, akbridgeofhope.com. There's a PayPal link on there. You can give that way. But I believe, especially when you receive something, to sow back into what you received is crucial. It's important, and there's a blessing in it. And so I'm going to leave this here, and you can just come down and give an offering here in just a minute. I'm going to pray over it, over you, and then I'm going to dismiss you, and you can go buy all the books that are left. So that's okay. Yeah. So, Father, thank you for the word. Lord, thank you that it penetrates to the deepest core of who we are. Lord, that we would be walking in a position, a place of wholeness, a place of love and unity. And Father, I pray for just an outpouring of your Spirit upon each person sitting here today. I pray, Lord, even when we don't realize what you're doing, you're at work and you're doing a mighty work. And so, Lord, I pray that we would all be susceptible, accepting of the work that you're doing, and we would open our hearts, receive what you're doing. And I pray for this offering. Lord, I pray for increase. I pray for great abundance of finances for TOTN and Mark and Ann and what they're doing around the world. And so, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that and sow into it. And we just, again, pray increase in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. And somebody will be out at the table out there. If you want to say, Mark and Ann are going to go out there and you can say hello to them. They'll sign a book if you like, or you can just say hello.